Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Last week, I began a message that I thought was going to be a short message that I preached for about 35, 40 minutes and didn't get done with it, talking about making wise choices. Choices are easy. It's the price tag that's attached to them is what gets you. When you know, choices is, yeah, I can make a choice, and eat, but it's the price tag. Every time I make a choice where we're to go to eat, my wife's food is always bad. Got a little ice. You know, everybody that I know, all voice coaches, everybody says, Ronnie, do not drink ice water when you're hot. Okay, I won't anymore tonight. But praise the Lord. Let's get back into it tonight. I believe, I'm not sure, I'm going to finalize it tomorrow. But I think I got one brewing for Sunday. And I'm going to try not to let that creep over into tonight. Only preachers understand what I'm talking about. Preachers and teachers. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from the New American Standard Version, says, Now these things happen as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let them, or let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, making wise choices. Jim, do we have the ability? Do we have the ability to allow the camera to continue but mute the sound? Okay. Y'all remind me to tell y'all something at the end of service. Some of y'all like, well, what are you going to say? Those of you that are watching should have been here. Anyway. Making wise choices in our lives. Lot made a bad choice. And, hey, don't worry about it. I know you're finna go try to fix it. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Man, that's a good man right there. I just say that if there's a problem. Justin, got it. Let me go see if I can fix that. That's a good man right there. That's what you need. That's what you need working with you, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, go ahead. He's a good man. And behind every good man is a surprise mother-in-law. Amen. Lot made a bad choice as to where to live and wound up experiencing war and kidnapping and oppression and tormented by the ungodly citizens of Sodom. David chose to commit adultery. That's what I said. I said he chose. He didn't fall into it. Ain't nobody in this room ever fell into sin. You were drawn away. The trap was set. You stepped, but most of us went to the edge, jumped on the diving board a couple of times before we dove in. All right? As a result, David experienced the death of an infant son. A daughter molested by her half-brother. This is some Jerry Springer stuff, ain't it? And then another vengeful son killed a half-son, or a half-brother, killed him. And that same son that killed him led a rebellion against his daddy. Boy, you want to talk about some daddy issues. But yet God called David a man after his own heart. So see, there's nothing you've gone through or will go through that God can't make it all right. All right. So let's make some wise choices. Some choices greatly affect our lives. And so we talked about choices. Point number one, if you was watching, it's still on, I believe it's on YouTube, or not YouTube, but YouVersion. Choices with greatly affect our lives. Choosing Jesus, of course, that's the main thing, man. And matter of fact, last week we had a couple of people choose Jesus, and I'm so excited to see one of them back tonight. I hope you're watching online, the other one that gave your heart to Christ. That's the one decision that will affect the entire bearing of your life. It will have a bearing on every other decision that you make. Here comes another one. Choosing a career. Huge, man. Choosing a career. You know, somebody goes, well, if you find something, remember that guy said, if you find something that you love to do, you'll never work another day in your life. He's an idiot. Because how many enjoy what you do, but you still get tired, you still want a day off, you still don't, you know. Hey, I'm the pastor. Surely, pastor, have you seen the people I have to deal with? Not y'all. It's the people on Sunday. So, I mean, I deal with that too, you know. So, choosing your career. Here comes a big one, man. Choosing a mate. And just so anybody out there watching don't think that I'm being politically correct, I'm talking about a husband for a woman and a wife for a man. I'm not talking about a wife that's the same sex or a husband that's the same sex. That ain't no husband and wife. So go ahead and write me your letters. Turn me in, whatever you want to do. Because I'm over you. Now, then, here comes another one, man. Not just choosing a mate. Choosing your friends. Choosing your friends. Man, you got to have the right friends. And I feel like I just need to say that again. Because some friends are going to want to make you do crazy stuff. And other friends are going to make you want to serve God. And you know what? If you choose the right mate, they will won't make you want to serve God. When I met Sherry, I wasn't even saved. She thought I was because I was a pastor's kid. Nobody told her I wasn't. When I met her, man, the first day, we went to the mall together with my nephew, and then we went to church that night, and I sat on the back row. That's where sinners sit. Or at least that's where Baptists sit. Come on, somebody. Yeah, so that's where I sit. And so she came. So I didn't see her. I didn't know where she was at. And so she came in and goes, hey, you want to sit with me? And I said, sure I do. Yes, ma'am. Grabbed me by my hand, took me all the way up front. On the front row. I'm like, dang. Worship started kicking. She started jumping and worshiping. I was like, I'm probably supposed to be looking at her like that right now. But Lord Jesus, you put her sand all in the right place. Come on, Jesus. I knew enough Bible. He hath done a good thing. Yes. I was raised in church. Because you know, you can know the Bible and not live right. How do you know? Because so many people watching online right now, they do that. Nobody in here, I'm sure. Everybody in here is living right. I'm sure of it. Mm-hmm. And then, so choosing your friends. How about this? And choosing where to live. Every action, there is a reaction. And for every choice, there is a consequence. So I used all my time last week preaching on that. I got about 20 minutes to give you two points with several sub-points. Point number two is this. Suggestions for making wise choices. Suggestions. This is not a guarantee, but it is suggestions that will help you make right choices. Now, you cannot, I don't care who you are, you cannot argue this next point. Because it's this. Ask God for wisdom. You can't argue with that. If you're going to argue with that, you might as well go out and argue with a car. Argue with a fence post. Because he promises to give wisdom to those who ask in faith. I'm going to give you scripture. Are you ready? James 1, 5 through 8. Write it down. I'll be gone by the time you get there. But if any lacks wisdom, if any lacks wisdom, Jesus. Just making sure that says I can't see nothing. It's all blurry. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being double-minded man is unstable in all of your ways. All right? So asking God for wisdom. But in asking God for wisdom, it requires diligence. How many ever gets the answer? No, I don't ask that because somebody's going to raise their hand. You lie. How many ever get the answer from God like as soon as you ask it? All the time. Lord, what you want me to do? And that's why you seem so schizophrenic. Because, Lord, what you want me to do? Oh, what, you want me to go buy McDonald's and get me a milkshake? Okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Lord, what you want me to do? I do this. What do you want me to do? Like a pinball, yeah. Bouncing off everything. Proverbs says, my son, if you will receive my word, and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to the wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Well, I'm just going to read the whole chapter, I guess. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. My watch said, longest move straight streak. Because I was worshiping. Shut up. Y'all wonder why I don't exercise? That's why. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Fill your prayers with requests for wisdom to make wise choices. Because you don't know, but God does. You know, David said, prayed a prayer unto God and said, Lord, let the integrity of my heart be my defense. Which means, God, I'm not sure what to do here, but this is the decision I got to make. And please, you know, when I came here almost 27 years ago, I prayed that prayer out at in the Appalachian, what was that lake called, baby? Appalachian Forest. And those of you who know me, I am not a camper, especially in no tent. But I went out there because I had to get a word from God. And so God says, Lord, I'm going to Crystal River. Let the integrity of my heart be my defense. If I'm making a mistake, please, you got 24 hours to check me because I got to give the overseer an answer. Thank God I came. And thank God that you came. So, fill your prayers with requests for wisdom to make wise choices. All right, here comes another one. Ask God for wisdom, but then ask others for advice. Ask others for advice. There's a safety in having counselors. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fail, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Now, here's the other side of that. Make sure that you don't talk to too many people. Because too many counselors is confusion. Amen. But let me just throw this in there. If you have somebody who is spiritually over you in the Lord, you ought to get their advice on it. All right? And now I know that as a pastor of 600, 700, 800 people, you can't always call me, but there's somebody in your direct line that is a spiritual covering, and ask. Ask for advice. Ask, is this godly? Is this what, am I making some right choices? All right? The wisdom in, there is wisdom in heeding to the counsel of others. Proverbs 12:5. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man is he who listens to counsel. Let me tell you this one story, and I'm gonna run on. I heard so many messages on faith, right? And so I knew that God had called me to preach, and I thought that God had called me to be an evangelist because I have a personality like an evangelist. And so I sure didn't want to pastor people because at that time I didn't like people. And I knew, I'm just right, let's just be real. I didn't like people. Pastor, sometimes I don't think you like us now. No, it's just you. I'm kidding. Kind of, you know who you are. But no, I'm just kidding. I really am. But God had to change that in me. And I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, I've been waiting, and I think God's waiting on me. He goes, really? I go, yep. On December 31st, I'm giving my notice at Wendy's. He said, wow. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going on the road, full-time evangelist. He said, how many meetings you got? Zero. But between now and then, I'm believing God. So my pastor trying to be, and gave me great counsel. He goes, well, Ronnie, I appreciate your faith. But how about we together start looking and working on getting you some revivals between now and then? Or let's just get you a Sunday to go preach. I'd already bought the motorhome. I was making good money. But we bought the motorhome, had a sound system. We were going to help God out. And so he said, why don't you just go, let's get some weekend preaching. And once you do that, and when you're not able to go to these meetings because you have to work, then maybe we can start tapering down your work. That's wise counsel. I got one revival. Not many. One. One. I bought that motorhome. We never used it except for that one revival. Then my best friend, he's still one of my best friends, Jimmy Miller, came and lived in it for 2 weeks. That turned into 6 months. Matter of fact, we just bought a camper a few weeks ago. I called him up. I go, you ain't coming to Florida, are you? I did do that. He goes, what? I go, we just bought a camper. I was just making sure you ain't trying to come live with me or something. He laughed. He goes, no, I'm good, man. It's like, and I said, you're it. I'm coming to live with you. You know. Ask others for advice. Get godly counsel. Get godly wisdom. The great sources, two great sources for counsel is the Bible itself. What a concept. Especially the book of Proverbs. Here's another one. Older, mature Christians. I've spent more time on this than I needed to. Older, mature Christians, listen, if you want to talk to somebody that's, you have a marital trouble and you want to talk to somebody, don't talk to somebody who's been married 9 times. Unless you want to go like ask them, hey, what not to do? And take your checklist. Yep, I did that. I did that. I better change some things, right? But find somebody mature who is doing what you want to do and has been through it. Don't hesitate to ask others what they need to do. All right, here comes another. Commit your choices to the Lord. Amen. trusting that you made choices pleasing to Him, put them in your hands. Lord, I hope this is, I feel this is what I'm supposed to do. So God, you know, I'm putting it in your hands. You know, change it, whatever needs to happen before then, whatever. That's what I'm doing. Psalms 37, 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Psalms 37, 23 through 25. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he fails, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. Make your choices with the understanding of this. If God wills. See, sometimes we get upset and it wasn't God's will. And then you after the end of it, you're so glad that God didn't answer that prayer. See, one might ask the Lord that if a choice is not according to His will, Lord, because you might frustrate the carrying out of that choice when it's not God's will. Now, listen to me closely. Somebody told me one day, well, preacher, if it's God's will, things would just work out smoothly. The devil is a liar. Ask Paul. Beaten, stranded, shipwrecked, accused. That was God's will. Or to otherwise show you what is His will. Include God in the decision-making process. If you wish to make wise choices, you've got to have God involved. There will be times, though, that it becomes apparent that you made a poor choice. Maybe even a wrong choice. Well, what can you do to avoid making the matters worse? Or we talked about making wise choices. But now what happens when you've already... Well, I already did it. Well, Pastor, I know I didn't ask you about marrying that person. I would have told you they're crazy. See, people usually don't ask me stuff. They tell me stuff. Here's what I'm doing. All right. And then months down the line, I'm like, yeah, they'd ask me, I'd have told them. Responding to wrong choices. Because that's what you got to do. When you make a wrong choice, you got to respond. What do you do then? Well, one, learn from the mistakes of others. Man, if I can learn from somebody else's mistakes, come on. Why do I want to do that? I don't want Brother Brewer, who is, you know, a little older than I am, has been pastoring about as long as I've been alive, maybe, But I don't want to ask Brother Brewer. Brother Brewer says, hey, I did that and that was a mistake. Well, I don't believe you. I'm going to do it my way and do it and let me see how it turns out. He doesn't know. Learn from the mistakes of others, especially those whom you respect. Because now if I don't respect you, I don't care what you've done. But if I respect you, I need to do it. All right, so learn from the mistakes of others. All right. But then, Pastor, if I made this mistake, do what Lot did. And I remember in our first beginning text, he heeded and then he fleed. Heed the word of God and then do what you know to do to be right without reservation. You know, man, when the angel of the Lord came in there and said, man, you got to get out of here. He goes, all right, let's go. And he headed out, but remember his wife? Look at what I'm leaving. The old fleshly life. And then she turned into a cow salt block. Some of y'all don't know what that is. Do what Peter did. So Lot, is that the right salt block? Yeah. Right. I had to ask country boy what that was. Heed and flee like Lot. Or here comes another one. Remember when Peter repented and served. Remember when he made the mistake of denying Christ? He repented and served. Repent. If sin is involved, you know what happens to most of us when we sin? We let the sin of pride come in. And man, it just makes it so much easier if you just repent. Repent doesn't mean being sorry that you got caught. Repent means to turn away from it. I love one little boy. They ask about six-year-old boys what their definition of repent was. And one little boy says, being sorry enough to quit. I like that one. I like stuff simple. Because I'm just a simple kind of man. I don't know where this stuff comes from. Serve the Lord with what time you have left. Are you listening to me, Papa? Or apparently to Pastor Travis, Nick, are you listening to me? You only got 10 more years. Do what Paul did. Paul accepted and lived. Accept the forgiveness Jesus provided. Here's what I love about Paul, man. One of the things I love about Paul. Now, those of you who don't remember, because I'm sure you've read the story, Paul persecuted Christians. When Paul showed up, everyone was like, oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Because he persecuted them. And so, Paul had people jailed, beat, hung. Did he have anybody hung? Yeah. Stoned, there it was. Stoned. And then he had the audacity to stand up and go, I have wronged no man. If I'd have been in the crowd and he had stoned my brother, I'd be like, hey, bro. Hey, hey. What about JoJo? You remember brother JoJo? But he could get up and say that because he accepted the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And he can say, the man that I am now, the man that I am today, I have wronged no man. I can't help what I did before Christ. I can't help before I met Jesus on the Damascus Road and he changed my life. That was the old me. This new me, this Paul, has wronged no man. So he accepted and lived. Accept forgiveness and then determined to live for the Lord for the rest of his life to the best of his ability. The wrong thing to do when you realize you made a bad mistake is to continue in it. The wrong thing to do, continue in it. Remain in the choice you've made because of pride or some other reason. Now I've got to give this caveat because I'm sure there's somebody watching online. Well, Pastor, I made a mistake marrying this person. Well, let's try to work it out. There are times that you just can't. But if you got two people who love Jesus and y'all can't get along, if you are spirit-filled and you can't get along, somebody needs to go back to Calvary. Amen. But Pastor, you just said don't stay there in it. No. The Bible said he hates divorce. Don't just jump out. Here's the deal, and I say this all the time. I can't see you now. I say this all the time. I can't see you but you do. Alan, you look incredible. Oh, there he is. Oh, my God. All right, but I say this all the time, that if you're in a marriage, and hear me closely, if you're being abused, I'm not talking to you right now. Am I right, John? I'm not talking to you right now. God doesn't expect you to stay getting beat and all that stuff. Matter of fact, call me and I got a few guys. We'll go take care of the situation. We got a couple assassins in the church that we'll just... Hey, Pastor, what y'all here for? We're here to pray for you, bro. We're going to lay hands on you suddenly. Father... In the name of Jesus. Now, but I'm not talking about that. But if you're in a marriage, and if there's a fire in the room, and you know where there's no way of escape, then you would work on putting the fire out instead of looking for a way of escape. I've had to share that with Sherry multiple times. I'm kidding. We've never. Amen. So the wrong thing to do is continue in it. The other thing is to wallow in it. Just feel sorry for yourself over the guilt of our loss. I don't know what happened to my eyes. I told you first time, I don't know if I ever had could not wear contacts, but my eyes were very bloodshot. I had an appointment over in Bushland this morning. I came back and I used my bathroom, and I have a mirror right there, and I looked up and went, "Oh, Jesus!" I mean, it's normally every morning a bad scene, but it was just particularly worse today. But my eyes were just bloodshot, and then Justin came and goes, "Oh, you okay, Pastor?" I go, "No, I'm not." And then Becky came in, and she's known me quite a bit, you know, because she's been our secretary, then our bookkeeper. And she came in and saw my eyes. She goes, "Oh, Pastor, you okay?" I go, "No, I'm not. I'm just crying." And she goes, "You never cry. Are you okay?" I'm fine. It's just that. And I do cry. I have a catharsis every once in a while. I just don't do it in Walmart. You ever seen somebody having a catharsis in Walmart? I just want to build them a toilet paper roll. A toilet paper wall. Here. You're embarrassing me and everybody else and every man. Just come on, chill out. Somebody hit him in the stomach really bad. No, I'm just kidding. But don't wallow in it, man. Don't wallow in it. Don't feel sorry for yourself and let guilt get the best of you. Let the examples of men like Lot and David and Paul teach us the importance of making wise decisions. Let it serve as a warning to us to make decisions so that we don't make decisions lightly. And let us be open to the wisdom from God and the counsel of others as we make such choices as friends. You know, how many of you remember your mama go, "I don't think they're a good example. They're not really a good influence." And I've told you many, many times, my daughter and I, and both of my daughters, we've prayed what we call a night-night prayer from many, many, shut up! Many, many days. Somebody hit the wall over there. Jim. In case the oil's over, that's like, "What is he doing?" My wife's going, "Focus, it's 8:30, focus." So anyway, my daughter and I, we've prayed a prayer all of her life. Matter of fact, we went to Build-A-Bear, and she built a bear, and she wanted me to record my night-night prayer so that she could hit it when I was not there. And I know, isn't that sweet? That's all I'm saying. I didn't say you still have it. Do you still have it? It broke. My prayer broke. Who? Bogey ate one of the paws. That's the first I've heard of that. It's been nice knowing that dog. But anyway, but part of that prayer is 1 Corinthians 15:33. And I always pray, "God help her to make right choices and right friends because
bad company corrupts good character."
Because bad company corrupts good character. I want her to have that, man. And then, you know, this is one of her friends, Hannah, and we're praying against that relationship. I'm just kidding. Oh, forget it. Sorry, I'm not supposed to be doing it. Yeah. So anyway, you need right choices in that. And you need to make right choices with friends and on all the above. Make sure your children know that. You know, have you made the most important decision? Pastor, what's the most important decision? The most important decision of your life is not who to marry, where to live, and all those things. It's to follow Christ. Because every other decision hinges on that one. Amen? Come on back, musicians. The decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest decision that you'll ever make. You know, and the other decisions that you made, right, wrong, or indifferent. Let me just, as a show of hands, make sure I'm talking to the right crowd. Anybody in here made wrong decisions, wrong choices? And those of you who didn't raise your hand, either lying or not listening. It's 8:30. I've got to quit. I know we've already had a good service, a good worship. But I just want to pray over you, and I want you to stand to your feet with me. And there are some choices that you have to make and decisions that you have to make. And don't you wish there were like one decision a month or a year? But most of the time they come in clusters. And one affects the others. You have to make those decisions. I have a cousin named Cousin Travis. He's much older than I am. And him and his wife have been married a long time. I asked him the question. I go, well, how have you made your marriage work for so long? He goes, well, we made a decision when we first got married. She would handle all the small decisions, and I would handle all the major decisions. I went, wow. I said, how do you determine what's the major decisions versus the small decisions? She goes, well, so far she's made almost all the decisions because I haven't had to make a major decision. The major decisions are when we invade another country and when we go to war. So, of course, he was kidding. But every decision has a consequence. Some's a ripple and the other one makes a tidal wave. So we got to make sure we make wise decisions. Because your family's too important, man. Your contribution to the kingdom is too important. And if you make wrong choices, I'm just going to tell you, your life's not going to be that great. It's going to be a life of... The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. And I'm going to shut up because I could just keep on going because it's something I'm passionate about. Let's make wise decisions. This coming Sunday, if the Lord will let me, I'm going to preach on the subject of, I think I'm going to call it, minding the gap. The gap from where you want to be to where God wants to take you. There's some principles I want to give you on that this Sunday. If God will let me, we'll see. I want to do three things today. If you're facing what you'd say is a major decision. Now, if you think it's major, because how many knows your major might not be my major? I mean, I know people who have major decisions on where to eat. That's not something to lose the victory over. That's not a spiritual warfare. Unless you're trying to get into a good restaurant. But anyway. But if that's you, Pastor, I need wisdom for a major decision. Come on, lift your hand. I'm not going to ask you what it is. Spirit Life Team, would you come? If raise your hand there. And if you feel cool, you know, I know that there's a little resurgence of COVID. All right, now, let's go ahead and close down. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being with us today. Online service, thank you so much. So tell us when we're out. If you are getting ready to make a major decision and you want somebody to pray with you, then would you just make your way down?
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.